Okay, I'm gonna start it the same way I did last time. Hot D, baby.
Some hot D.
Yeah. We really got to workshop that. I shouldn't do that next time. Or maybe even lean in even harder next time.
Just keep leaning into hot D.
Hot D, baby. Is that
keep
good?
Keep being open to hot D.
Hot D, baby. Is that good? Does everyone like that?
It's great. I love it.
I'm going to keep doing this until James talks.
Okay, sorry, I thought you were rehearsing.
No, this was all...
It's House of the Dragon, Episode 2, The Rogue Prince, directed by Gregory Charles Yaitanez. I don't know why, I didn't even try. And I'm James, and that's Adam, and before that was even Ryan.
How about...
Let's talk about this director. He's directed episodes of Lost and Heroes, which is a show that Ryan and I at least used to talk about a lot.
We used to talk about Heroes all the time.
A lot of other shitty stuff like Prison Break or whatever.
Whoa!
You know, real popular shows.
Whoa! A lot of people like Prison Break, James.
True.
I mean, a lot of people like Heroes, including me, and it's a bad show.
I mean, listen, I'm getting negative vibes from you already. Okay,
what Heroes? Now you're gonna defend Heroes? Go rewatch Heroes, Ryan.
I will not. I don't have that kind of time. I'm a busy man. I'm over here thinking of new ways to say the terms.
Ha-dee.
Before we get into it, guys, also there's a Patreon. If we get enough patrons, we'll do a thing. That's HBOboys.patreon. You know,
I don't think so long term. I truly don't think long term the empty promise is going to be really what hits it off. Like, how many people are going to join me? Like, they said they'll do something, which is huge.
Guys, I desperately need a new mic, and money is tight, so.
True.
So give it to us.
Let's get James a new mic.
Yeah. That's it. If we get to 20 patrons, we'll buy James a working mic.
That would be cool. Yeah. Actually, what it will actually happen is he'll buy my microphone, and then with that super sweet mic money, I'll buy an even cooler microphone.
Ryan's going to lend me the microphone.
Yeah, he's leasing it.
I can give it back someday. Anyway,
someday.
We're going to recap the show now. There was an intro. It was the same song as Game of Thrones. They spared no expense. But at least, you know, Adam now gets the full Game of Thrones intro experience, but with worse little miniatures in the intro.
You know, I saw the original Game of Thrones intro, and actually I liked that intro. I thought it was very cool.
Oh, that's because it's one of the best intros ever made.
But this was bad.
No,
it was fine.
It was okay.
It was way too long.
The intro was underwhelming. It was too long, and I'm hoping that there is an abridged version of it coming at some point. I'm fine with them using the Game of Thrones music again. Keep it forever. Ramin Djawadi, you know, you pulled that slot machine and it came up Ramin Djawadi three times. You just keep going. But the visuals were lackluster. If the Game of Thrones intro didn't exist, it would have been good, maybe even great. But they had to be overwhelmingly better than the Game of Thrones intro to be considered good/great, right? How did somebody watch that intro and go, like, that is not only amazing by itself, but better than the Game of Thrones intro? Nobody could believe that, so go back to the goddamn drawing board, right?
I wonder if they just compromised and they're like, nah, it's a spinoff. Let's do spinoff quality.
10 million people will watch anyway, baby.
They're going to watch it anyway, right? Watch that hot D. Baby. Hey, when do you think we'll see older...
When do you think we'll see Emma Darcy? I don't know. I felt like it would be before this. Like,
yeah.
I thought she'd be in at least the first two episodes. It's going to be a bummer when they either start going back and forth or they just abandon young Rhaenyra completely. Because we're sort of slowly but surely I'm falling in love with the character. And by love, I mean, like, she's the easiest one to watch on the show. When she's on screen, I don't want to close my eyes, cover my ears, and turn off the TV because it's a weird cringe lord moment. Like, that hasn't happened with her yet. So, like, when she goes, it's sort of just setting up this impossible mountain to climb for Emma Darcy, who I'm sure is going to be great. But isn't there going to be a group of people who the entire time watching Emma Darcy are going to be like, gosh, I wish the first lady was still here, the one I like.
And just for the record, there's not much text left between now and when they should be doing a time jump. So if it doesn't happen next episode, it's because they're, like, making filler stuff for her to do.
Which I honestly understand. She's good at it. I like when she's on screen, as previously stated. But I don't know. Like, after the three episodes, say she has next episode, right? And she's gone. Is she gone forever after that? Are we ever going back to the past timeline? Why would we?
No, we wouldn't. Unless someone was reminiscing about something before they died.
So they'll 50-50 it. Five episodes in, we'll get the actual Emma Darcy.
I just foresee a future where someone's like, do you remember when Rhaenyra was young? The good old days?
What's the time jump between young and a young and elderly?
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there, Adam. It's not worth getting into.
Understood.
This episode is all exposition. It's endless politicking. We learn in the intro exposition scene that the evil crab man mentioned in episode one is doing nasty bad things to the Stepstones, and everybody's very chill about it except for the sea snake, who's like, we got to do something. And everyone else is like, shit's boring, man. Who cares?
I will say, as they were panning the beaches of Crabs,
Crab City
decimating, Crab City decimating human remains of not even remains, live people. That was pretty freaking metal.
It was metal. And in a show that is doing like both metal and cringe metal, where there are dope moments where you're like, oh my god, those crabs are eating those people. Sick. Yep. Sick. Yep. Very cool. Yep. And also there are moments where you're like, but she's 12. She's
12.
So,
I can't bed the king till I'm 14. Yeah. Weird.
As Ryan was pointing out last week, this is fiction, but in actual history, in like medieval times, punishment for piracy was to be drowned. Like, they put you in a stake at low tide and then say good luck.
I thought you were about to talk about the punishment for marrying a 12-year-old, but then I was like, oh, right, there is none.
The punishment is you get to remain king.
Yeah.
You get air babies.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
The whole thing about feeding crabs, though, I think that's original. Also original to the show. In the book, they were like, he's the crab feeder because he drowns the pirates. In the show, they're like, he is the crab feeder. He dumps buckets of crabs on his victims.
Take that, victims. Rhaenyra at this point is just like, I could just burn him with my dragon. You remember
we had dragons, wouldn't even take one episode. I'll just go do it now.
Right.
And then Dr. Evil's like, you don't know what we do here, Rhaenyra.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point. Put freaking laser beams on freaking sharks on freaking laser beams on their heads.
Scotty, don't.
And so they throw her out of the room. They're like, nah, dudes rock. No girls allowed. And they kick her out of the small council. And they're like, now go. Your job is to pick a new Kingsguard. One of our Kingsguard, probably died of syphilis or something.
Yeah, no, it was the one standing in the back of King Viserys last episode. He didn't even get to talk. He just stood in the back for like 5 seconds. And then he died in his sleep.
Hey, but at least he gets to join the Screen Actors Guild now.
Nice. Finally getting that Screen Actors Guild card. Gonna hide it under my pillow so the Tooth Fairy comes and makes me an actor.
And she picks Christian Cole because he's the hottest. Yeah. And he's the only named character among them. All the rest are brand new.
They are really leaning into the miniature thing in this show. They have the cool balls that let everybody know that they're at the council meeting.
What is the point of that? I have sat down and you can see that I'm sitting here, but now I'll turn the ball and I really know I'm here.
It's a status symbol, something, signal of power.
It's a Targaryen thing, obviously. When Tywin Lannister sits at that table, they just drag chairs around. They're not doing the weird ball thing anymore. And honestly, I think they should have kept it, man. I'm loving the miniatures. I'm loving them.
here's the theory that I've heard, that the weird ball on the desk thing, it's two-factor authorization, right? So, like, we know he's not a faceless man because he has the ball.
Oh. Yeah, it's a real, honestly, real person.
Honestly, that's not a terrible idea. They are very aware that people can just have not their face, that AI can deep fake some people, and they're like, no, but where's your ball at, idiot?
Right, it's like Tom Cruise in Eyes Wide Shut. They're like, Fidelio is the first password, but where is your marble ball?
Yeah.
I just love the idea of medieval 2FA.
I have my eyes wide open when it comes to your bullshit.
We get a scene where Alicent and Viserys are, like, actually not being creepy and inappropriate. They're just kind of talking like normal people. Again, Viserys is just, like, King Normal Guy.
Yeah.
King Normal Guy.
I'm not here to do anything creepy, Alicent. Can you tell me how to talk to my teenage daughter? Because I'm not good at that. Because I'm just a normal guy.
And she's like, yeah, I'm her best friend, so actually I'm sort of the best person to ask this question to. What I want to know is how much off-screen discussion is happening between Alicent and Otto. Like, every time she's about to go to him, is Otto like, these right. are the points you should hit today so that someday you're a queen.
So again, the interesting thing about this, it's like a history lesson, right? So because none of that happens on screen... Like, in Game of Thrones, it would have happened on screen. Otto would have been like, you need to bang the king. And she'd be like, yes, father. But because we don't see that on screen, it's, like, up to your, like, interpretation. If you think Otto is a weird guy,
why do you think that they did that for this instead of how it was proven successful before?
I think in order to, like, leave it murky. Same thing why they didn't have him say air for a day on screen.
Ah, yes.
After that, the rogue prince, Daemon, is harnessing his big dick energy, and he steals a dragon egg.
What a bitch.
Because his mistress is having a baby, or at least that's what they say. The king's like, I can talk it out, and Otto's like, no, let me go create a dangerous situation.
Without a dragon on my side. I somehow forgot that he has a dragon, and I bet he won't bring it up. Or use that when I try to take a dragon egg from him, a man with a dragon. I'm an idiot. You know what sucks, though? You know what would have been a cool scene to see, guys?
Yeah.
A guy on a dragon stealing a dragon egg.
Yeah.
Who would want to see that? That's whatever for that.
No, better to not show that and just say it happened.
Yeah. That sounds expensive. 10.2 million people would just like, yeah.
The great Orson Welles said, tell, don't show.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think, did Orson Welles also say when you have a really cool dragon stealing a dragon egg scene, just don't show it for budgetary reasons? Was that a direct quote from Orson Welles?
No, I mean, I was just making a joke in the first place. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. I also wasn't making a joke.
You know, for a movie HBO show, that has such huge budget, you'd think that would be, you know, they want to lean on the dragons because after all, it is in the name, but we've only seen like two dragons. I need more dragons.
And Caraxes.
I would like to see more dragon battles, please.
Give me more dragoons. In fact, we're heading to Dragonstone, the scene you just mentioned, and there are wild dragons on Dragonstone. I even said it out loud as we were watching. I was like,
there are
wild dragons on Dragonstone. Because yeah. I was excited at the idea to see Sheepstalker or Sheepherd, the one that eats sheep. There's one of those. It's on Dragonstone, just waddling around somewhere. Where was that goddamn dragoon?
After that, we get an awkward scene where we're introduced to Daemon's mistress. She's a famous courtesan from a foreign country. And basically she's like, I want you to promise me that you'll always love me and I'll never be burned alive by dragons. And he says, I promise you, baby. And she's a bad actor. And it's hard to believe her performance.
Yeah. The accent got thicker somehow. She got worse at talking. Yeah. She is Shay but worse, right? Like, the actress who played Shay was better at acting and had a more believable accent. Also... but besides that, I did like the part where Damon was just like, I got this because my future wife is pregnant. And then she looked at him like, are you out of your fucking mind? What did you just say out loud? You did not run this by me.
Excuse me, what?
Pissed. Which is really the only reason that the altercation ended. Because she was like, I'm leaving because I'm angry at you. And then he was like, no, don't go. You can have your dragon egg. Baby.
Just a common Targaryen whore.
Wow. Aggressive.
Yeah. You know.
After that, there's more politicking. Nice. The issue is Viserys needs to get remarried, even though he doesn't want to, and he can't just say no, because he's only got one kid, but also a brother, and also an aunt. But anyway, he's like, no, I need to remarry and have kids, even though I'm the king, and I could just tell everyone to chill out, right. And he would have to do it.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time. Has there been one time where Viserys was just like, oh, I don't want to, so I'm not gonna? Mm. And then someone's like, no, you gotta. I was like, I don't gotta do shit. Like, has he ever done that once?
He's easily manipulated.
Corlys Velaryon, the sea snake, is like, I have a kindergartner daughter, marry her.
Listen,
so when we were watching this,
yeah.
I didn't know who like they were talking about when they were proposing the you know, girl to wed him. And when they showed her on screen with him walking in the courtyard, I looked at Ryan and I'm like, is that who they're talking about?
Yeah.
This little child?
Yeah.
Like,
we were watching it with
not cool.
Sam, and she was just like, so this fake show is having this 7-year-old talk to this old man because they're supposed to get married, and don't say that it's a historically accurate thing that happened because that man's wearing a blonde wig, and that's a little woman who's, this is weird and cringy and weird. Like, yeah. why are we watching this weird show?
And yeah, that's what I wonder all the time about George R. R. Martin. Like, is he just trying to get us to confront the grim reality of history with all of this? He's like,
maybe.
Oh, you'd like this cool fantasy drama? Here's a disgusting thing which was common in history.
Yeah, you know, like, this is one of the few like parts of Game of Thrones that like turned me off from it. Is like the weird like taboo stuff, like the incest and the age, huge age gaps, like underage stuff. Like, it's just not, I don't want to watch that. Like, I don't care how accurate it might be. That doesn't further the story for me.
I am loving Adam's takes these past two episodes.
Sure. Listen, Game of Thrones kind of let the incest and the marrying of children thing take a back seat, you know, because they had Emilia Clarke play Daenerys from the beginning, where in the books she was way younger at the beginning than Daenerys was at the beginning of Game of Thrones, because they didn't do a young version and an old version. They just did Emilia Clarke, who was already not a 7-year-old, right?
Until they absolutely went there needlessly with Sansa in season, I think, 6, which was horrible.
Yeah, but yes. But again, season 6, reaching the point where there were no books anymore. But at the same time, George R. R. Martin has proven that he is not one who's above incest and weird young person pedophilia shit. So, like, I don't know how many times Sam is going to look at me and be like, why are we watching this weird show? And I'm going to be like, because it's a good show. I know it has weird stuff in it, but it's still good. Like, how many times can I say that sentence until I'm like, it is, yeah.
You're right, it's weird.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
While that weird shit's going on, Rainey is talking to her aunt, or no, her second cousin, once removed, Rhaenyra, the queen who never was. And she's like, yeah, you're the heir, but actually a woman can never be president.
Yep.
And Rainey's like, I disagree.
Yeah. Right. One, I don't like how close their names are. It makes it very confusing. Yeah. Two, the aunt second removed whatever adopted uncle that the queen who never wasn't is. She's just spitting hard facts. And then the child is like, no. And that was the whole scene. Which I liked, by the way. I enjoyed their conversation. And it did go the exact way I thought it was going to go, which was the experienced woman who has already been just like dunked on super hard by the entire realm is just saying what she knows is going to happen. And then the person who has been promised everything and is sort of living a delusional lifestyle still, who hasn't been dunked on hard enough to know that she's about to get fucking dunked on, is like, no, I'm not going to get dunked on.
After that, Viserys apologizes for being an absentee father, and he makes up with Rhaeny, and he takes Allison's advice on how to meet her at the middle ground, and they do make up, and Rhaeny's like, you know what, Dad? Don't marry the 7-year-old. She's too young. Marry someone older who you actually like. And Viserys is like, yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
Good call. Bum, 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 bum.
Everyone except my best friend.
He proposes to Allison, which pisses off the sea snake.
Did he propose, though? He didn't propose.
Yeah, he just said this is happening.
He just instructed.
Again, off screen if he did.
Yeah, right.
And here's something, guys.
Okay.
The look that is on Rhaeny's face in this scene looks like not just like betrayal, my friend has betrayed me, I'm upset, I'm angry, but like she was heartbroken. And a lot of people are reading into this that, like, Rhaeny was in love with Alicent, actually.
Oh, shit. Oh, my
God. Yeah, you pitched that in the Discord, and I thought I thought the same thing from the beginning, like the scene when they're by the tree reading. Mm-hmm. It's just very, like, more. It was definitely throwing out more than friends vibes.
And in that scene that you're describing, Rhaeny's like, I wish I could fly up with you on a dragon sometime, Allison. And Allison's like, I don't swing that way.
Yeah.
I would hold sorry, on dude.
Hold on.
Friend zoned.
So goddamn tight.
Yeah, friend zoned. Like, that's a rough friend zone when they marry your dad.
Yeah, right.
Sort of the roughest of friend zones you could do for hot day.
Hot day. I still can't believe he calls it that.
In the last scene, it's the big stinger. The sea snake is all sad because now his child is going to live a happy life and not marry an old man. And so he decides to invite over the other Targaryen, the rogue prince. He's like, you and I both suck. Everyone hates us. We should be allies, obviously. And together we'll defeat the crab man. We'll flip the crab man on his back, and then he'll be helpless.
Yeah, he'll roll around forever, but never be able to stand on his 8 feet. How many feet do crabs have? Whatever, don't care. Point is, you and I are sort of running amok, and our storylines have gotten instantly boring. We need to be able to go do something during this season. Let's go do that. How long is that going to take, though? Is it going to last through the time jump, or is that all going to happen next episode?
That's a good question, because, like, this happens, and then very quickly we're time jumping, and so I'm guessing they're going to stretch this out, and then we're going to get some original scenes of Rhaeny's pathos at some point and being like, oh, my best friend's gonna bang my dad. Oh, jeez, I have to go to the wedding and pretend to be happy.
Oh, man. My brother of my best friend. Or my brother from my best friend.
My brother from another best friend.
It's like, oh, my best friend is now my stepmom.
Right.
What, Jerry.
Although maybe she's into that.
Jerry.
Stepmom, I'm stuck in the dryer.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No,
I'm going to keep that. Would probably
do you want to keep that one down
too? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a definite cut. It's an instant cut. You know when you hear something and you think, that's not going to be in? That one.
I think you should keep it in.
I mean, we should let Adam edit water. He'd do the chaos cut.
Chaos Cut.
Yes, Adam Carner and David Ayer, same guy.
Oh my god. Yeah, release the Ayer's cut.
Fantastic anyway, news, guys. Yeah, editor, edit in bullhorn sounds right here, because Hot D has already been renewed for season 2.
Easy money.
That's right.
Easy money. 10.2 million viewers for episode 2. You don't need to show a guy on a dragon, stealing a dragon egg to get all them people watching.
So they already released the numbers for season 2, or episode 2?
Yes, they've gone into the future and released the season 2 numbers, and it's like 80 million
in episode. No. Episode 2, was it more than episode 1?
That would be insane, no. But it was still over 10 million, which is bonker sauce.
Right, you gotta factor in the amount of people who watched until the ball sack, and then were like, nope.
No, thank you. Right. No, thank you. And then made it through the ball sack, got to the end, got to the second episode, and was like, this one will be chill. And then they get to the little girl walking with the old man, and they were like, no, thank you.
This is a little too far for me.
If I were going to review this, I would say episode 2, pretty boring. I just want to say that if you watch the behind the episode segment after the episode, I'm paraphrasing here. I don't remember exactly what the showrunner said, but they were like, listen, you gotta eat your vegetables before you can have some real fun. So come on, man, we got to explain the story.
That is not, you're full of hatred, just sipping on that haterade.
It was a little bit of a stretch, because as soon as I saw, you were like a couple minutes ahead of us, James, so when you said that, I was like, oh, we gotta watch that, and we looked out for it, and it was, I mean, I don't know.
I'm paraphrasing, but he expressed that. Come on.
It was kind of like the, well, you gotta get through some toughs time to have better stuff, like...
No, he was, I think, saying that you have to be able to understand the story if you want the payoffs later to actually pay off, which I understand. I liked this episode a lot. Anytime they're sitting at a table and saying words, as long as the words aren't dumb, I'm 100% there for. Sure, there's some weird shits going on. And I don't know how many times I can explain that to my girlfriend without just being like, go upstairs. Because you don't like it. And honestly, I don't know if I do either. And one day that might be true. But I really liked this episode. Politic King all day.
I liked this episode, but I think I liked the first one better because there was more going on.
Yeah, I mean, it was that HBO syndrome, right? Where they purposely made it violent. They purposely made it HBO-esque. Look at what we can do. We're HBO. They were always going to do that to the first episode. Mm. And then the second episode was what we get for getting that first episode. Which was right.
And it's going to be a long season. It's going to be an 11 or 12 hour season. So, it's kind of like an album. They put the good song first. They could have put a couple of okay ones there in the middle.
And then hopefully the single is the last one, right?
Well, and then episode 9 is always the hit.
Yeah, I think it was less exciting, obviously, than the first episode. I still liked this episode, though. Like, if it definitely got into, like, the stranger parts of, like, decision-making, which I appreciate, but... Like I said, when we did the first episode, I don't want it to hinge on this political table, round table. I know Ryan gushes over it, but...
I don't like it.
In the end of the day, it wasn't that dramatic. It was like, hey, Viserys, you want to make this terrible decision to marry a little girl? No, thank you.
Okay. No, thank you.
I do it
but
now.
Like, I think we had hints that he wasn't going to make the decision at the end of the first episode.
It feels you just don't like the Viserys character, James. Is that correct?
No, I mean, he's not very dramatic because he's so normal guy.
Yeah.
He just does the thing that a normal guy should do, which is not super dramatic to watch.
It's like they're asking him, my lord, my liege, what shall we do? And he's like, I don't know. What do you all think we should do?
Yeah, it's just a hokey guy. I don't know. I like him for that exact reason. Like, he is generally weak, like Damon said. He just, like, versus what he could be, right? Like, versus Mad King status, where it's just a psychopath going off the rails. He is the exact opposite side of the spectrum, a fair weather king who can't make a decision that's difficult for him. So he's just kind of riding it along. And it is that weakness that will most likely be his downfall, which is why it's interesting to me.
I'm sorry to alienate you, Adam, with this discussion, but okay. Ryan, let's rank on-screen kings.
Okay.
Number one, for sure, King Rob.
Robert Baratheon?
Yeah.
Bobby B? Yeah, he's my number.
In terms of
gods,
drama.
I was strong then.
Number two, you got Joffrey. You hate to watch him, but he steals every scene.
Love to watch him die.
After that, probably next in line would be Dany. Because she was only queen for some of the worst episodes. Sure. And then after that, probably Cersei, because she was the most boring to watch. Sure. And then under that, probably Viserys, because he's also very boring.
Yeah, I mean, but I also put, like, ipso facto, or I also put de facto kings and or queens up there. Like, there were a few episodes in there that Tywin Lannister was actively running the kingdom. Right, where he sent Joffrey to bed without his supper. That dude was king, whether he was called that or not. And I liked him in that role very much.
Oh, we forgot to put Tommen. Tommen, bottom of the list, below Viserys.
Yeah, jump out a window, good looks. But yes, Bobby B, and we saw a little bit, like some glimpses of the Mad King. We knew that he was going to do some wildfire bullshit, which is messed up, but very interesting nonetheless.
I just want to say, as a reader, and maybe Ryan caught this too, they've kind of messed up the plot of the war for the Stepstones in the show. Like, I wonder if the reason is they think that people are just too dumb. And they're like, well, we'll just make it more simple. So, instead of, like, the triarchy, ridding pirates from the Stepstones and then putting in a toll, so, like, it's better for most people. But like this, not for the sea stake, because he had a huge fleet and was not worried about pirates, so he didn't like to pay the toll. So this is like all his stupid pet project to get rid of the toll booth. And in the show, it's just that like the Triarchy sent pirates to the Stepstone to fuck with the rest of Rossi's because like they hate their freedom or something. And I mean, the reason why that's kind of dumb is because they're like, well, should we go to war? Should we go to war over this? It's like, dude, you're already at war. They're feeding your bros to crabs.
Yeah. They're actively attacking you. You're not attacking back. That is a war. You're just doing badly at it. And I'm proud to be Westerosi, where at least I know I'm crabs.
But it looks like if you watch the next episode, that there's going to be a big fight scene episode next time. It's dragons versus crabs. Place your bets.
I want something.
Dragons for 100, Alex. Your names.
And
James.
Of course, we will all be back to talk about that. Before we go, anybody got anything else going on?
I just really liked that scene where they were having maggots eat his dead finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I wanted to bring that up.
That's a good point. The guy's fucking falling apart.
Yeah. Sam must have loved the maggot scene.
Loved that part. Almost as much as walking with tiny little girls, and that's fucked up.
Ryan, I'm now caught up on Nothing Star Academy. When the heck is season 2?
Oh, man. Well. It's like in a few days.
shit.
As of right now, I didn't say this, but like I'm in a hotel in South Carolina for work, which is really making it difficult to finish editing the first episode for the first. So it may be late. I don't know. But it will be at the beginning of September. It's already recorded. Just got to edit that bad boy, and we will enter season 2 for Nothing Star. Should be pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
I just died, I think, at the end of that sentence.
Don't do that.
Hot D.
Hot D. Still waiting for some hot D. We haven't seen any yet.
I have been up since 4 a.m. I'm so goddamn tired.